Amen, amen. At least the song worked this time. So, Blaster, we welcome you to our Friday night sermons. You know, again, this is what we call Friday nights. And yes, folks, it is Friday night. It is time for another message. I'm sorry for the delays. I just had some technical issues. I wasn't going to let the enemy get the best of us and stop this because I had a feeling when this machine was booting up, I said, you know, I think he's trying to stop this message from being preached tonight. And you know what? I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of disrupting this thing. And if we were going to have to go a little bit later, then we'll go later. But again, we're going for it. The song played finally. Thank the Lord. So again, I'm glad that you are here. And it is wonderful to be here again to present to you another message that the Lord has led me to preach on to you. And, you know, as I was introducing Blaster, you know, just to give you a heads up, the others know this, I try to find songs fitting for the message. You know, whenever, you know, I'm led to these directions, I usually listen to a bunch of songs and see if it's, you know, really ties in. It's kind of like what the praise and worship team does at church. You know, generally, a good worship leader will normally ask the pastor, hey, what is your message about? You know, can I have a copy of your message? And they usually get led by the Holy Spirit and usually, you know, sing songs that follows through with the message. It's what I call a continuous flow of worship service. So usually that turns out to be a good worship service. Not trying to be impressing. It's not trying to do a show, but it's just, you know, we're allowing the Spirit to come in. And this is why I usually generally pick these songs. So those of you, not too long, that have heard the message that I preached recently, you know, why do we need Jesus? I'm sure y'all, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it because even though I put it up on the website for other folks to listen, but when I preach that, you know, normally after I give these messages, you know, when we go to Walmart and right afterwards, because that's when the wife usually gets home, you know, while walking around the store, I'm usually thinking about the message. You know, I'm thinking about, okay, I hope somebody got something out of it. What did it say? Did it speak to me? And sometimes that usually starts the little squirrel running for next week's message. Sometimes I usually don't follow through whatever I'm thinking on. Sometimes I do. But I was thinking of this one, and my mind went to thinking. We knew the why. And that's why I preached on, you know, why we need Jesus. We all knew the why, and I hope you understood the why we need Jesus. Now, the question is, how do you and I answer his calling? I don't know if you ever thought about that, really, because, you know, I just recently went through an interview of a pastoral search committee, and generally, I sat on that side of the table because I sat on many pastoral search committees, you know, interviewing possible candidates for pastors. And you generally, this is a generic question. Generally, it's an outline. We follow a list. And we usually ask the potential pastor, how do you know your calling to ministry is the calling from God? Or something similar like that. So I ask you, and those online listeners who's listening to this audio segment later on, I ask you, how do you answer the calling of Jesus? Now, I don't know if you really gave that any thought, but, you know, think about it while we get into this message and probably afterwards think about it. How do you answer the calling? And I want you to understand something. In this calling, God communicated that he is calling for the true transformation, a transformation that transcends space and time. God is doing a new thing, and that new thing began when the sifting ended. Because, see, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, sometimes God deals with us in a certain way, or he deals with us, you know, through certain events, which is called sifting. You know, if you look at it in the Bible and you study it, because Jesus even told Peter, you know, I'm praying for you because Satan wants to sift you. What he's trying to do, he's trying to stir you up. He's trying to get you in trouble. He's trying to really make your life miserable. So, you know, it's a process the enemy does to us because, again, you know, the Lord knows that he will be after us. So, again, that's a new thing that begins when the sifting ended because, you know, we were sinners. So when we came to Christ, when we answered the call, in a sense, he's sifting us like wheat because in Old Testament times, sifting was like they threw the wheat up in the air. So all the loose, fine particle dust, they blew away in the wind, but the grains and all that fell down to a little pan that they were doing. So that's what sifting is all about. So, but at that particular time when he was sifting us, hey, that old us died. It went away. The new us began. And yes, the sifting to us has ended. And God broke into the atmosphere. And we are now living under what I call the open heaven. We are living in a time of revival. And God has his messengers communicating that the time is now for the transformation for you to occur. The time for your transformation, my friends, is now. The time for your transformation is occurring. The time for your transformation has to be done ASAP. And yes, we do struggle during this transformation process. We do have ups and downs. We do have boo-boos. But we are encouraged through the Holy Spirit to change in accordance to his likeness. Now, I will say this. It does not grant us the right to intentionally go out and sin on purpose. Because if you keep asking God for forgiveness, God forgive me, 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 God forgive me. And you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Well, chances are, my friend, you have not yet been transformed. Because I'm telling you, if you've been born again, if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will understand that those sins you should not be doing and you ain't going to do them. And again, you may still slip. And you will repent, but if you keep running back and keep running back and keep running back, then there is no real repentance. None. I'm just trying to throw that in there to help you understand what this calling is all about. Because you and I, my friends, are called to repent and turn away from the old ways and walk the new. And friends, God knows he placed a call to you. He knows. And do you know that you received a call from him? I bet y'all haven't even thought about that. Do y'all know that y'all have received a call from him? God's call, his invitation, it goes out to all, every human being, good or bad. And we know this because the Bible says that Jesus died for all sinners. All, not just a select few. He died for everyone. Now, granted, many are called, but a few are chosen. And we will get into that in a little bit. Now, sadly, pay attention, his offer of grace is only taken up by a few. Just like I just said, many are called, few are chosen. So his offer of grace, it's only taken up by a few whose positive response to God's invitation marks them as God's chosen. So if you got your Bibles with you, our dear friend Lisa, she's a scripture person posting scriptures for us. But if you got your Bible, our reading scriptures for tonight will be this, Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. And look what it says, folks. Very short, very simple. For many are called, but few are chosen. Not me saying this. That is the word of God saying what I just now said. The invitation to that calling, only a few are chosen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you to forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory, where we have missed the mark. Father, we don't intend to sin, but at times we do inadvertently allow sin to get the best of us. Sometimes we allow ourselves to fall into that bait of Satan. Sometimes we give in to these temptations and we keep forgetting how powerful you really are because, again, we're allowing the power of the flesh to overtake us and we shouldn't do this. We know better than this. And if our lives is going to change, you're going to have to do the transformation. You're going to have to grant us the power. You're going to have to give us the strength. You're going to have to give us the courage. You're going to have to give us the direction. You are going to have to lead. But all that comes down to us, that we must submit to you and die to ourselves and allow you to do what you do best, to transform us, to make us new, to change us, to show us the right way to live a righteous life. We ask of you to help us. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this in the flesh. It has to be done by your Holy Spirit. And Father, give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength, the understanding. And as your word says, you always provide a way of escape. So when temptations comes at us, you are giving us a way out. But we need to make that decision and say, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. Today I will say yes. And I ask of you, God, bless those who are here tonight. Be with them, strengthen them, love them, encourage them, and let them know, hey, I got you covered. Trust me. Surrender yourself to me. Let it go, and I will deal with it. Love them, bless them, watch over them, take care of them. And Father, we praise you and honor you all in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all seen the title, because I do that bot. You know, those of you who's hanging around the chat room, you see the title of this message. But I do title all my messages. And the title of this message, as we listen to the song, Jesus is sending you a call. Now, we just learned that Jesus has said that many are called, but a few are chosen. So if you never really pondered on that, with that, this raises what I call three questions. Whenever Jesus said many are called, but a few are chosen, this raises three questions, folks. One, on what basis are people chosen? Two, why are only a few are chosen? Why only a few are chosen? And three, who does the choosing? Is it God alone, or do we have any free will in the matter? Do we? That alone is something to think about. So, what is this calling, and how does it work? And to give an answer to this, I think we can relate to what I am about to say. Now, I'm trying not to shake it too much because I am recording it, but we all have smartphones. I think we all do. If you don't, then you're one of the fortunate few that's not giving in to technology. But I can say basically all of us have smartphones. Or sometimes I think, you know, we call them dumb phones because we're the ones that can't operate them. But again, they call them smartphones. But we use them for texting, taking pictures, selfies, posting those pictures. We use them for Google Maps and directions. I do. I use Apple Maps, but I use Google Maps too, but I use it all the time. But did you honestly know? And I bet you hadn't thought about this until I saw researching this, but did you know, to many, one of the last things that we use our phones for is actually making a phone call and speaking to each other? That's generally the last thing a person uses their phone for, making a phone call and speaking to each other. They're doing all these other things, but they're hardly ever calling anybody to talk to. Literally. And when you do that and you do call someone, literally people get annoyed when they receive a call. It's like, I'm not taking this call. Reject, reject. How many times we've done that when we get a phone call? I reject. I have. But did you notice, after the call, there's always proof that I called you? Even though I may have called you and you may have rejected, there's proof that I called you. All you got to do is look at the last person called. Shows you their number, shows you their name. I don't need to leave a message. It's right there on your screen, folks. Missed call from so-and-so. What about this one? I'm sure that you've been involved in this. Have you ever exchanged numbers with someone and they hand you their phone and say, put your number in my phone for me? For some reason, I get that a lot. A lot of people just hand, here you go, brother. Put your number in the phone for me. I'm like, I don't know how your phone sells. You see where I'm going with this? This is where it brings us to this next verse that we're going to read. It's Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Look what it says. Again, a reading verse. For many are called, but a few are chosen. See, folks, the point is that everybody receives a call, but are in a habit of rejecting it. Everybody receives a call. A lot of people are in the habit, reject, reject, reject. And God knows He placed a call into you. He knows. And you know for a fact that you received a call from Him. This is an important call. It's about your extended warranty. But this time, instead of being about your car, it's about your soul. And just like those robocalls, people keep hitting reject, 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 reject. And I mean, this is the mindset for many who owns these phones. Like, why would I need a warranty when my car is perfectly running fine? Why do I need it? And this translates today about Jesus. Why would I need Jesus when I am getting by just fine, hunky-dory? Why do I need Jesus when everything's okay? Think about that one. But here's the catch. I'm almost like a snake oil salesman, if you want to call it that. But here's the catch, folks. You can't get warranty. You can't buy warranty. You can't go ahead and spend money on warranty when your transmission leaves you on the side of the road. Once that happens, it's too late. Or if your engine blows up, you can't go out and buy warranty. It's too late. Or worse yet, when your car completely dies, again, folks, it is too late. And again, if you die without Jesus, it is too late. And I'm worried about my sister, who's fixing to have major brain surgery Monday. In the most critical part of the brain, she has a large tumor. She does not know Jesus. I'm praying that God will intervene, use those doctors, get in there, don't mess nothing up, get that tumor out. But if she dies on that table, she has received the call because her brother has preached Jesus to her more times than one. And she keeps saying that's wishy-washy. Like I said about the warranty, when you die, it's too late. You see, let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. A lot of reading. Luke 14, 16 through 24 says this. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who has been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another has said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go examine them. Please have me excused. And another says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of a house became angry and said to the servant, well, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you command has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, well, go out to the highway and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Just like your warranty running out, folks, he flat out tells you right there, those who were invited shall not taste my banquet. And as you can see in this, and using the phone parable, if you want to call it that, Jimbo's phone parable, getting tongue-tied, you can see there are a lot of reasons why people hit reject. And even today, people have a million and one excuses. The number one excuse people reject God is, and yes, this kind of sounds like Dave Letterman's top 10 thing, the number one excuse people don't answer God's call is that, are you ready for this? The number one reason why people don't answer God's call is you didn't think the call was for you. A lot of people use that excuse, well, I didn't think the call was for me. And you are partially correct. Now, tell them, hey, they have won the lottery. Bam! They will answer that call right away. But tell them they need Jesus to be saved. Reject, reject, reject. Men reject the call and they fail to understand God's call. You need to understand it's not for the old you or even for who you are now. You see, you are not called for who you are. You are called for what you will become. You are called for what you will become. And we can all relate to that, who is truly serving Jesus. We knew what we were before. I never knew that I was going to be called into the ministries, but yet here I stand preaching to you. You see, folks, the Bible itself never teaches that he's going to improve you. Me and Lisa was talking about that today. The Bible never says, I'm going to improve you, Jim. Or, Jim, I'm going to make you a better person. Or, I'm going to make the best version of you. No, folks, the Bible never says that. It teaches us that you will become a new person. In fact, the Bible is clear on that. It does teach us we will become a new person. How do I know this? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. And pay attention to what it says. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Notice this. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Y'all see that? You understand that? See, folks, if you hadn't caught on to it yet, that is your calling. You see, in other words, to add to this, Paul himself is comparing the Christian life to stripping off the dirty clothes of sinful past. That's what Paul's saying. It's really boiling down to stripping oneself off of the sinful past and putting on the snowy white robes of Christ's righteousness. That's why if you even read more in Ephesians, put on the holy spiritual armor of God, not to take off. You were called to strip off the dirty clothes, but now you're called to put on his holy righteousness. Now, I hope I'm giving away my age. I don't know everybody's age here, but I do know mine. And I'm not going to say nobody else's age. I'm not even going to say the age of the ladies. Because ladies, when we men, you know, try to ask you, hey, how old you are, if we say how old you are to other people, well, if you're down here in Louisiana, you get thrown to the alligators. So I'm not even going to ask for age. But how many of us remember when there was a time in history of our great country? How many generations ago when kids did the unthinkable? They played outside. Back then, we did the unthinkable. We played outside. And if you were like me in that time, I used to be so proud, boy, when I get a new pair of blue jeans. Oh, man, I like these jeans, brand new. But you know, whenever we wore those blue jeans, folks, I'm going to tell you something right here, and this is what I experienced. It was almost like a battle not to see how many grass stains I would get on those jeans. It was a battle. Oh, I wanted to wear those jeans, but man, look, I'm telling you, it was a battle not to get grass stains. Or the other battle was, how long would it take before I ripped a hole in them? Because, see, folks, the denim back in those days, look, I'm telling you, and I ain't joking you, the denim back in those days were a lot more thicker and stiffer. It was like they were permanently starched, and they can literally stand up on their own. Like Lisa said, it was like wearing armor. Those things, you could take those pants and put them on your, and they would stand up on their own. And it would only take a few months of washing them and beating them up to get them worn in and comfortable. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And maybe that's why kids today, and I was shocked, but maybe that's why kids today would rip jeans apart so it looked like they played outside. You see, we actually played outside and ripped our jeans, but today they ripped those jeans so it looks like they play outside. Now, not to get off subject, but I seen the price. It looked like maybe a little small patch of jeans just to cover the private area and the backside, and the rest was all holes in it, going for $100. I told my wife, you know what? I'm in the wrong business. I need to go get all my old blue jeans out of the closet and rip those things up and go out in a yard sale and sell them for $75 a pop. Man! But see, they can tell back then that we played outside because, look, folks, we had holes in those jeans. We had them ripped up. They were faded. And whenever you ripped a hole, I'm sure you can relate to this. I didn't like it. But my mom back then, she would save all my old jeans, and she would patch up my new jeans. But whenever she did that, it never looked right, and everybody can tell that she tried patching them from the outside and patching them on the inside. You know where I'm going with this if you're near my age. Those were the worst iron patches that you could ever see. I hated them. I really did. Because eventually, what those patches did, they started to peel off. And you would be flapping down the road if you're riding on your bicycle and that patch was just flapping away. You see, this is what a lot of Christians are doing today, because they, in other words, are comfortable with their old self. They would rather patch up their old life than put on a new self. And the problem is, when you do that, everybody can tell. They can see you coming a mile away because you're wearing a patch. You're not wearing the new. Look what Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 says. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. And folks, what this verse is really telling us, Jesus isn't iron patches. Jesus isn't iron patches. You can't act all gangster-like and keep in your old ways. And the worst tear is that now you have entered a hypocrite zone if you are acting that way and claiming to be Jesus. You are a Christian acting like your old self by acting that way. If you are acting as the old, that's what you are. You are just claiming the name, but you're not truly what you claim to be. You are not answering that calling. So you think that when life tears you up, some people think this way, but when they think that life tears them up, oh, I'll just pat some Jesus over here, cover this hole up, cover that hole up. And then I put some Jesus on this, and I put some Jesus on that, and I'll be okay. Sooner or later, the old you won't be able to make another patch, and you're just going to have to throw it away. It ain't going to work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is saying this about that. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, notice the word is, he is a new creature. Old things has passed away. Behold, new things have come. My friends, the old you is gone. Shinata, saranata, bye-bye. The days of patching it up, it's over. You need to stop it. The patches, or Jesus patches, will not work. As I mentioned earlier, if we claim to repent, but we keep going back and claiming to repent, keep going back, claiming to repent, keep going back, claiming to repent, keep going back, see where I'm gone, see where I'm gone, you are just patching it up over and over. You're just trying to put on a Jesus patch. You're not for real. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Quit trying to patch. Quit trying to use a patch of Jesus. Throw it away. Let the new start. See, folks, it's a brand new day for you. A brand new. Remember when Jesus said this to his disciples? Pay attention to this passage right here. Look at Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. Another long-winded one. Lisa was picking at me about that the other day. Say, either your verses are too long or too short. Well, I went with some few verses, but long passages. See, try to keep her on her toes. But Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62 says this. And they were going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes has holes and birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And yet another said, I will follow you. I will follow you, Lord. Let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me warn you about this. That's a warning to you, those of us who's claiming to take the patch of Jesus and put it on ourselves. Jesus knows you already. So if you're claiming to follow Jesus, but yet you keep running back to that form of life, that's not me. Look what it says right there. You are not fit for the kingdom of God. You can't claim to put your hands on the plow and say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to grab the plow and I'm going to follow you. And you keep doing, and you keep doing, and you keep doing, and you keep doing. I'm sorry. Get mad at me all you want. Scriptures are scriptures. The word of God is the word of God. You're not fit to enter his kingdom. Folks, that's the truth. You got to get rid of it all. Quit trying to use those old patches. Answer the calling. Surrender yourself to it. And if it hurts that you got to do those things, that means you got to give them up. You got to stop it all. And if it's going to cause suffering, then so be it. But you, my friends, have been called to follow Christ. And it comes with a price. A heavy price. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. And I think you can relate to this. Have you ever seen those things and riddles on Facebook and it says, don't give it away. Just comment that you got it. How many of y'all have seen that? I've seen that a lot. You look at some kind of puzzle or riddle. Hey, just comment that you got it, but don't give it away. And you look at it, and sometimes this is me, unfortunately. And you look at it, and you look at it, and you look at it, and you look at it. And you just can't figure it out. And you feel like that you're the last person who can't figure out, well, I don't get it. Everybody else is typing, got it, got it, got it, got it. I see it, yep, got it, got it, got it. And I'm staring at it. I'm looking cross-eyed. I'm rubbing my eyes all every which way, turning my head sideways, you know, trying to get it, whatever they say to get it, and I don't get it. Have you ever felt like you was one of those, the last one to ever figure it out? Jesus doesn't mean he doesn't want you to go to his father's funeral or visit with your family. He doesn't mean that, folks. But what he does mean, that the old man inside of you is dead and your old ways will no longer work anymore. You have changed. Your priorities are changed. But this is the point. You're always the last one to figure it out. So don't feel bad. Fortunately, because of that, we have a loving Father who is patiently waiting for us. That's right. We got a loving Father who is patiently waiting for you and I. He's calling to you. He knows. And my friends, the phone is ringing. Where you pick it up, there's a calling on your life, and you aren't picking up that phone. The phone is ringing, and you're just watching it ring. God is calling, but you're too busy on the phone and in the world. You're too busy hanging on to those lustful desires. You're too busy wanting to go back into the world. Why aren't you answering? Why are you not answering the call? Don't you see the phone ringing? Can you hear it? Can you hear the call waiting tone? Can you? Or did you purposely put it on do not disturb mode? Have you? My friends, will you answer the call? Do so before it's too late, because it begins with a decision that you make right here, right now, tonight. Those online listening, when you're listening to this online, it now begins with a decision that you make right now, tonight or today, whatever time it is that you are listening to this sermon, it now begins with a decision you need to make. Answer the call. Answer the call before you click exit. Answer the call before you leave out of this channel. Answer the call if you happen to be in church before you leave. What are you waiting for? Answer the call. Answer it before it's too late. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,